Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Pink Atheist. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. I just wanted to let everybody know that this is kind of a comeback show, and so it's not going to be very long, and I'm going to be looking at formats here shortly, as well as searching for a wonderful, talented co-host that would like to go along for the ride. And in the future, we're probably going to be doing it on Sunday as well. It's kind of a return to what I did before and doing it, you know, in a better quality way. So I hope you're looking forward to that. Today, I wanted to talk about Indiana and the new legislation and America in the direction that it's going with bigotry. So I hope that you're willing to listen to me for a half an hour because, you know, everything has changed, and I did step out for a while because I felt that it was the right direction to go. So now that I want to be back, and I'm happy to be back, and I see that there's a lot of social work that needs to be done in America, I feel like there is this pull towards political arenas for me, and I know that the religious right has people like Rush Limbaugh, Dr. Laura Schlesinger, people like that that are driving them because they spew these diatribes that are very easy to listen to, don't take thinking. So people can just basically listen to, you know, this nonsensical information and follow along with it because they don't have to do any critical thinking. And I think that it's important for us to drag America along into the enlightened era and bring new critical information along with us. So Indiana has decided that the Constitution doesn't matter, it's irrelevant, and that they have the right to discriminate on people based upon, you know, their difference, and that difference being homosexuality, which, you know, kind of is a little bit of a bigger umbrella than that, because I assume that with this religious freedom law, they can not only discriminate against people who are homosexuals, but people who are transgendered or who they feel could possibly be transgendered. So this law actually encompasses more bigotry than just, you know, one type of person. And the idea that you should be religiously free to discriminate against anyone is absurd. I have not read in the Bible where it says that, you know, Christians were not to sell things to people who were of different religions or ideologies. And I'm sure somebody out there could probably give me a verse if it exists. So I won't say that I completely know all of the information. What I will say is that in a country full of diversity, where we pride ourselves on the diversity, we sure then turn around and criticize anything which deviates from what is considered the social norm. This law is not only blatant bigotry, but I do believe that if it goes to the Supreme Court or anything like that, it can be quickly challenged and overturned. It seems like America wants this direction. They want to be able to express their religious ideologies upon other people, regardless of whether it's constitutional or not, which says a lot. I mean, the founding fathers who lived a couple hundred years ago seem to have been more advanced in their thinking than politicians who currently exist today. I mean, who would have thought that in 2015 we would see legislation that is as archaic and bad for America as something that probably could have existed in the Dark Ages? It's just completely absurd. And then I, you know, saw the article where the pizza shop owner had $500,000 donated to the cause of bigotry. And this says a lot to me about what America is willing to do to be able to, you know, discriminate against other people. And I'm often perplexed by this, because if that was an atheist pizzeria who refuse to serve any religious people. You would probably see it getting rocks through the window, getting burnt down, things like that. Because it's so ironic how Christians feel so persecuted in a country where they are the leading majority, where you have politicians spewing this, God bless America at the end of every speech, even if everything that they just said was bad for America, even if it made no relative sense, even if they are the biggest moron on this planet, like Sarah Palin, they still say it. And they get people because people aren't thinking anymore. They aren't using rational sense to create and follow these ideologies. They just want somebody who has the same dogmatic thinking as them. So when a politician uses God bless America, it's easy to manipulate the people who are following them because that's all they want to hear. Single line diatribe. We don't want to hear in-depth speeches. We don't want to take the time. We're too busy on the Facebooks of the world and the Twitters and looking at who's the newest star and watching the Honey Boo Boos and degrading our line of thinking to the point where if it can't be summed up in a single sentence, we're not willing to give it a listening ear. But my scathing criticism of this law isn't just about the politicians who got it passed. It's about the people who wrote it. It's about the people who backed it. It's about the people who donated to this pizza shop. This is the most insidious form of bigotry because it's blatant. It's disregarding human beings. It's belittling a sect, a class of Americans. And it's kind of like the Amish shunning people. It's saying we have the right to violate your humanity. We have the right to discriminate against who you are based upon this law, this legislation. And in turn, I keep thinking to myself, I hope that there are homosexuals in Indiana who own businesses, because I would love to see the reverse of this, not as a general practice, and obviously I'm against any forms of bigotry, but I would love to see a heterosexual walk into a pizza place and somebody say, I'm sorry, it's against my religion to serve a heterosexual individual. I think that your capacity to create children is disgusting and vile, and I want nothing to do with it. And then I want to see how that person feels. And it's sad because you're not going to get the bigot. You're not going to get them to come into that pizza place, and it's going to probably be an innocent individual. So to flip the coin, you have to be the kind of ignorant, low-minded individual that this pizza shop owner is. And that's all she is. And she takes pride in that. She is proud of her ignorance. She is proud of her right to be a bigot. She is proud of her ability to discriminate against others. And she wants the world to know that, hey, I'm a classless bigot, and I intend to push my ideologies onto other people, regardless of how they feel about it. And I have no issue violating another person's rights, personal space. I feel like I can discriminate against anyone. And that kind of ignorance shouldn't own a business, but unfortunately, obviously does. And this legislation was made to serve people like her and to allow them to be the kind of classless, ignorant bigots that they are. And, you know, I would like to take on somebody like her and look them in the face and say, do you really think that we should have respect for you? Do you really think that you deserve appreciation or to be treated like a good individual? When obviously there are certain parts of the Bible that you follow and certain parts that you don't, and you really don't understand your own religion. And this is the problem in America that we have, that Christians pick and choose. And you can't really say too much in that direction because it's all over the world. Everybody who is a religious person picks and chooses. But in this regard, we have people who are picking and choosing, and it's not only hypocritical of them, but it also violates the Constitution. And I know that homosexual isn't a protected class. I know that they don't relatively have the rights that they should within Indiana, but they should be a protected class. They should have those rights. We shouldn't be seeing this in 2015. And what I really feel is sorry for any individual who is unlucky enough to be homosexual and live in Indiana, because this law doesn't just, you know, govern a pizza shop. This governs everywhere. I mean, this could be your local grocery store, gas station. This could encompass the entirety of your life within that state. And it's absurd, because you're not only preventing these people from having, you know, the simplest of pleasures, you're preventing them from having a normal, average life where they feel like they can be just a normal human being. And I'm starting to say it on Facebook, and I'm going to be saying it everywhere. Homosexuality is not a deviation from a norm. It is a norm. Homosexuality is normal. It's typical. It's a usual sexual orientation. So is transgender. So are all of them. There is no one single idea about sexuality that is the perfect standard. Heterosexuality isn't the norm, and then everything is a deviation. Heterosexuality is one of the many norms. And I think that we really need to change the message that's getting out there. Like, you hear people who are heterosexual saying that homosexuals choose to be homosexual. Well, then that means that those people believe that within them is the capacity to be homosexual. And they have to believe this because they're believing that it's singularly a choice. And when you make a choice, you choose one spectrum or another. Therefore, homosexuality is just as normal as heterosexuality. And these people believe that they have chosen their spectrum of the norm. You can't have it both ways. You can't say that people don't choose this and that it just is and believe that that's true, or say that they choose it and believe that that's true. I see these people, and they criticize other people's sexuality, and it's based upon ignorance. It's based upon the fact that they can't understand more. I would say that from what I've seen, true heterosexuality exists in possibly about 20% of the population. The rest is along a grade of a spectrum, if you think about it, like the homosexual rainbow, where it encompasses all colors. Everything is a deviation from there. And then homosexuality probably is completely on the other end of the spectrum. And, you know, I was talking to somebody who's transgender, and they have a specific sexual orientation. And they said to me, you know, I'm attracted to this, and it's kind of shocking for me because I like the opposite. And I said, you know what, that's just it. When we see a beautiful man, a beautiful woman, and we think to ourselves, wow, they're really gorgeous, they're really hot, and you feel that initial flicker of sexual attraction, that's what that is. It's because your mind isn't built to close all of the doors. We do that purposely in our culture. I think that if people were allowed to use sex as an explorative thing, that what we would see is a lot more people exploring their own sexuality, and we would find out how quickly it is that people aren't just hetero or homosexual, and that's the long and short of it. What we would find is that there are a stark number of people who fall somewhere along the median of the spectrum. So I tend to disregard what people say about the idea of homosexual being a choice, and that's because it's absurd. I have yet to meet one homosexual person who has said to me, you know, I made this choice, and though I regret it, it is what I am now. I have yet to see that. It's hardwired into us somewhere, what we're really going to like. There are secondary options. I think that we are more like bonobos in that we would like to have all sorts of interesting and different sex if we could. I think it's hard for people to admit it because we have changed sex from something that's not only fun and for procreation, but into something that has serious lines along which we feel that we can't deviate. But obviously in Indiana, they feel like they can do things like intrude into people's sex lives, which is kind of an American Christian norm because we think we know what they were doing during the Puritan era. And, you know, science has come a long way with understanding what really did happen during the Puritan era. And most of what we think we know about the history of this country and Christian sexuality is nowhere near what the truth is. I mean, those people used phalluses, and they had all sorts of premarital sex, and they would get married when one of the girls came up pregnant and she was giving birth, and then she would, during giving birth, you know, she would say who she thought the father was, and those two would be forced to be married. So it wasn't just a pure lifestyle where they abstained from sexuality and then suddenly, you know, they had sex when they were married. There was all sorts of abnormalities going on in that era, all sorts of styles of sex. And I want to say deviations from, you know, norm behaviors because these people weren't just having sex, and I'm talking about heterosexual homosexuals. They were doing things that I think most Christians would probably pass out if we talked about them today. So the idea that America has this pure cultural history is just as absurd as Christians' ideology of, you know, that they can discriminate against others today. And what I would love to see is the challenge to the Supreme Court on this. And then I would love to see furthering, I think it's actually going to take a civil rights movement, though, to kind of create a secondary legislation which protects homosexuality, transgender, all of that, because there is more. There's not just homosexual or bisexual or lesbian or transgender. There are more sexualities than even are encompassed right there. So I think that we have to create some legislation protecting the right of the individual to whatever sexuality that they feel they are, that they want to practice, as long as it doesn't encompass pedophilia in practice, which is child rape, and bestiality. And for anybody to take it there, it takes some level of absurdity because people in history have practiced bestiality and not been homosexuals at all, but been rather staunch heterosexuals. So I think that America doesn't have an idea about what sexual morality is. I think that we lack that understanding, and that's because of the Bible and the puritanical culture which invaded America, trying to, you know, cause everybody to be abstinent, to not deviate from this one standard norm. And, you know, the movement was actually by a couple individuals. It wasn't even an overwhelming movement, but it had an overwhelming power, and that power was to shame. And shame is a powerful tactic. But the man who actually created Graham Flower was the one who was, he was the man behind the movement of abstaining from masturbation, and he was trying to find a cure-all. And for a while, people thought that ingesting Graham powder would prevent you from wanting to masturbate. And so this man went around, you know, seeding this idea, and it actually didn't work. But today, you know, we have Graham crackers out of the deal. And we also have a flawed culture where we believe that abstinence can somewhat be normalized. And it's amazing to me that the same people who are pushing abstinence are themselves not abstinent. And I think that it's just like, it's a buzz culture where people want to be able to control others' lives. And the method and the manner is whatever it takes to be able to manipulate and control others, and they really don't care beyond that. Indiana's legislation is living proof of that, because they aren't even really trying overwhelmingly to hide the fact that it's bigotry. I mean, they're trying to proclaim that, you know, this is about the right of freedom. And I don't see that. What you can clearly see written in the legislation is that it is about bigotry. It's about the allowing of people to discriminate against others. So I think that America needs to pay more attention to politics, especially on the liberal spectrum. We have to be more invested and involved in what is going on. We have to get active, because apathy has become the American norm. And I've said this for years. And I feel like we really need to get an understanding of what is going on in America. Because politicians are feeding off of the fact that they can, you know, they can spew these diatribes. They can get an attention. And the overwhelming majority is Christian. But even Christians aren't always, you know, as close-minded, as bigoted, and harmful as what this legislation is. So I think that it's been overwhelmingly shown that even Christians are, you know, angry about this legislation and the fact that this is going on. But you will always have people like this woman who want an opportunity to hate, to express their hate, to openly degrade others, because probably somewhere inside that woman hates herself, her life. Her way of showing it is to use others to be a discriminatory force against. So you see this. And these politicians, what we're seeing is, I love what Hitchens used to say about when you see them railing against homosexuals, set your clock and just watch, and eventually they'll be the ones getting caught. Well, it's gone far beyond that, because I think that either we have a lot of homosexual politicians, or that we have a lot of politicians that are greedy, deceptive, selfish people, and they may or may not be homosexuals, but one thing you can be sure of is that they will pander to the lowest common denominator to be able to achieve power, and then, of course, use their own personal agenda in office. And we've seen that way too much lately. There's so many personal agendas going on behind the scenes, and a lot of it has to do with the Koch brothers. But a lot more of it has to do with the ability to make money for corporations, to change tax laws, to give breaks to bad, bad, bad policies. And we really have to wake up here in America. We have to say that in 2015, we got the wake-up call, and we decided that politically we need to take a stand. We need to be aware of what legislation is going on the ballot, from the, you know, town hall to the state capitol to the capital of the United States. We really do. We have to monitor these individuals, because if we aren't policing them, no one is. When you vote, you are voting with your conscience. And to say that a million people thinking the same way have no effect on their local government, on their country government, is incorrect. I mean, whole entire movements have happened and have changed the scope and the face of America. And that can only be possible because enough people believe that it was possible, and they got out and they voted. We wouldn't have women's rights right now if it wasn't for white men who voted. that women should have their own rights. And we wouldn't have civil rights if it weren't for white men who got out and voted and said, hey, yes, let's give them civil rights. So there is power behind your vote. It's not significant for everyday life. You can't just change the face of America within one voting cycle. It takes time. Just like the religious right has taken their time. They have been building this the siege of America over the last 20 years. They have been investing in raising children to be bigoted. They have invested in saturating the media with bigotry. They have been invested in turning their money towards churches, which are huge, huge churches, these corporate churches where the preachers make millions of dollars per year. They have invested in this, and this is the outcome. What we are seeing today started in the 80s. It started with men like Rush Limbaugh. It started with people like Dr. Laura Schlesinger. They promoted this ideology, which aligned with religious conservatism. They prepped the people for this. And what you have now is that they have millions of followers who are willing to side with them no matter what, no matter how wrong, no matter how seedy, no matter how underhanded, no matter how much of a lie. People will buy that, will believe that, will listen to that, will go towards that, because that's been the voice that they've heard for the last 20 years. So what you have is this ability to train people into an ideology based upon longevity. And then after you have that longevity, it's sort of like Fox News. Fox News isn't telling the truth, but they have longevity. So people have been listening to them because they were a new news source who claimed that they were, you know, the ones out there getting the real message out. And they've done that for years. So they have longevity. And until you build that longevity into America on the liberal scope and get voices out there and get your message heard for a long while, nothing is going to change. We have bigots like this pizzeria and bigot laws like in Indiana. And that's about going to do it for now. And I will be back again shortly. And I'm going to work on what the future of the Pink Atheist is, and I hope everybody has a wonderful week, and thank you for listening, and take care, everybody. Bye-bye.